Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 45, and you can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert in your bulletins. On one side is the outline of this morning's sermon, and on the opposite side is the scripture reading, Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 45, and we'll be reading through chapter 21. Verse 4. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow who had put two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Thus the reading of God's word today from the Gospel of Luke chapter 20 through chapter 21, verse 4. I invite you to follow along as well on the outline in your bulletins. You can find it there as the insert. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, if you were to read our text today from a this world earthly perspective, you might think to yourself, what is the matter with this woman? Does this woman even know what she's doing? What kind of person, when they have so little, puts their last two copper coins in the offering plate or the offering box, as it said in our text? Jesus said in verse 4, she has given all that she had to live on. And what did she think that her gift was going to accomplish anyway for the kingdom of God? There were plenty of wealthy people that day putting their offering in the offering box before her and after her. The amount that they put in the offering box was going to be used to accomplish much more than the small amount, two copper coins, that she gave. She didn't have to give her last two copper coins. The temple wasn't going to close. For many who read this text from an earthly perspective, what this widow has done makes no sense at all. For their thinking goes like this. When you consider giving to the Lord, first make sure that you're cared for first. And then if you have a little extra money that you don't really need, put that in the offering plate. Then you can give that to God. But when you have so little, like this woman, there may be times where you need to keep every penny you have and not give unto the Lord. That's how a lot of people think today as they look at a woman in this situation. But as a believer, you must remember this morning that as we look at our text, we don't look at it from an earthly horizontal perspective, but we look at this text and what this woman is doing before the Lord from a heavenly vertical perspective. And in the context of these verses, Jesus is on the way to the cross. He's already cleared the temple, driving out the money changers. We're told he has entered into Jerusalem. It is past the triumphal entry. His destination is the cross. And you must know that this passage about the widow has been placed here in Luke's gospel to express something about the kingdom of God and the life of his servants as Jesus goes to the cross. Because when Jesus points his disciples to observe this woman and what she's doing in the temple in giving her last two copper coins, Jesus is pointing them to see a pattern. A pattern that is not just for widows. A pattern that is not just about how much money you give or should give to the Lord. But in this widow, when he points the disciples to look at her, and when he points you to look at her today, he wants them and you to see a pattern for an entire person's life before the Lord. And so let's start today with the context this passage is found in. Have you ever wondered, when you read this text about giving to the Lord, why it is found here in Luke chapter 21? So often when you have heard sermons preached on this passage, you're hearing sermons that are about how we should properly give unto the Lord. And that whatever we give to the Lord, whether it be a small amount or a big amount, it doesn't matter, that we must give from the heart. In other words, how much we give doesn't matter. It's giving from the heart to the Lord is what really matters. And that is true. And that is certainly one point we could make from this passage. But if that's the main point as to why this portion of Scripture is included here in the Bible, why does Jesus make this point in Luke 21? Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has told many parables. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has taught his disciples many, many things. And this seems like something that could have been taught much earlier in the Gospel. If the main point is about giving and the right heart you need to have when you give unto the Lord, that could have been taught after one of the previous parables much earlier in the gospel. But here we are in Luke 21. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. It's after the triumphal entry. The plot has already been made by the enemies of Jesus to arrest him and put him before Pontius Pilate and have him brought to the cross. They are making plans to kill him. And here in chapter 21, Jesus points the disciples and all of the readers of Luke's gospel to the woman at the temple who is giving her last two copper coins. You may notice in the verses that follow, and I realize you don't have the whole chapter in front of you if you just have the scripture reading on the back of your outlines, but in the verses that follow this in chapter 21, Jesus is going to tell his disciples, he's going to tell us, about how the temple is going to be destroyed, how the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. He's going to tell them about the day of the Lord, when the Lord will return, the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And in the middle of all this, Jesus points us to a widow who gives her last two coins in the temple offering box, and some would say, teaches the disciples and the believers in the church something about their giving to the Lord. What is the point? What does the Lord want us to see? You see, in these verses, Jesus first wants us to see a contrast. A contrast that is going to be taking place between the scribes, the religious leaders of Israel, who devour widows, and a widow who comes to the temple devoted to the Lord. A contrast between those who devour and those who are devoted. a contrast between the leaders of Israel during the time of Jesus to the future leaders of the church and believers until the Lord comes again. Let's look more carefully at the contrast Jesus makes. You can see in verse 45 that in the hearing of the people, that is chapter 20, verse 45, in the hearing of all the people, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the feasts." Now, notice as it is introduced in verse 45, all the people can hear it, but he is speaking to his disciples. That means he is making this contrast for the future disciples, the future apostles, the future foundation of his church, who will go throughout the world to proclaim that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. In other words, he is focusing the disciples on this contrast, and he is focusing his church on this contrast. And in the contrast, he begins with a warning about the scribes. The scribes who he tells them walk around in long robes, in greetings, in the marketplaces that they delight in. The scribes want to walk around in the dress of the godly. They like to show the world how godly and devoted they are to God. They like to have the greetings in the marketplaces because they want everybody to know their name and know, with their long robes on, that they are the godly, the elite leaders of the people of Israel when it comes to the worship of God. They want the best seats in the synagogues, the place of worship. They want to have everybody know that they are in the place of honor because of their godliness. They want religious devotion and piety that they claim to have, to be known by others, because they are all about themselves. And yet, what does Jesus say about them in verse 47? "They devour widows' houses for a pretense or appearance, make long prayers." What I mean by "or appearance" is that pretense. Some of the translations translated "appearance." They want to give the appearance in their long prayers how godly and devoted they are, but they devour the most vulnerable in society and in the Lord, among the Lord's people. All their efforts to portray themselves as godly, religious, and devoted, they have proved themselves to be as Jesus has identified them to be throughout the Gospel of Luke: lovers of money. So much do they love their money, so false is their false godliness and piety, they devour widows' houses. Widows back then, and still in many cases today, are considered some of the most vulnerable in society. Especially in Jesus' day and in the Old Testament era, they did not have a husband or a male heir to provide for them and found themselves extremely vulnerable. And yet Jesus said, these religious leaders of Israel, in all their godliness that they sought to portray, instead of ministering to the most vulnerable with the grace and the mercy of God, they devour them because they are all about themselves. Notice again the specific wording in that verse, verse 47. It's not just that they devour widows. They devour widows' houses, you see. They destroy their life, their homes, their ability to provide for themselves. They take even from those who have little. And what does Jesus conclude in the last part of that verse? They will receive the greater condemnation. That's the condemnation of God. Because they were given the privilege of being the religious leaders of the people, and instead of serving God and demonstrating his love and his grace and his mercy to those in particular need. They're all about themselves and promoting themselves, and even prey on the most vulnerable for their own benefit and glory. But in the contrast, then, Jesus has directed the disciples to a woman in the temple. As you go on to verse 1, he looks up, we're told, and Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. Now, keep in mind what's taking place here. The offering box is in the temple. Normally, it was in the court of the women, so the women could go and participate as well. And so in giving the offering, as people went to the temple, it would be considered an act of worship and devotion to the Lord. And in those days, they didn't have, like we do, write a check, put it in an envelope, seal the envelope, and stick it in the offering, and you don't hear a sound. As if the giving could be anonymous, that no one would know what you gave or could hear any difference from you or anyone else. But the money was given in the form of coins. And then the number of coins, or the sound of the coin as it went into the offering box, people stood around and they would listen and hear how many were given and how loud was the coin as it was dropped into the box. People would want the sound to be heard. They would want others to know how much they had given to the temple. They wanted others to know how devoted they are in their giving. And Jesus looked up, and we're told he saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. But in verse 2, Jesus saw a poor widow, we're told, put in two small copper coins. Now you can be sure that the copper coin, as it was dropped into the box, sounded different. It sounded smaller than the loud coins that the rich were putting in. The footnote in your Bible tells you, it's actually not here on your outline, but in the ESV Bible, the footnote will tell you that the copper coin was worth about 1/128th of a day's wages. Someone might make the comparison today as two small pennies being dropped in the offering box. Then Jesus said in verses 3 and 4, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Again, from an earthly perspective, you look at this and say, what is this woman doing? Why would she do that? If all she has left is two small copper coins to live on, why does she give them to the temple? The gift she gives seems meaningless compared to the rich who are giving their big coins and many coins and dropping them into the offering box. But when Jesus points the disciples to look at her, in contrast to the scribes, he wants them and he wants you to know something about the kingdom of God that he came to bring and he came to proclaim. What is it that he wants the disciples and all of the believers to see? On your outlines, we're moving now to point B. Because as we look at this widow and what's taken place, we're going to look at how Jesus is pointing them and pointing all of us to see the kingdom of God from his perspective when it comes to the widow. What's the first thing we're to see? Displacement and replacement. You remember what was said in verse 47. Jesus said that the scribes, instead of protecting the widows, instead they devoured widows' houses. But now we have a widow who likely was devoured, like many of the other widows, going to the temple of the Lord, and she's putting in her last two copper coins. She's pouring out her life. She's pouring out all she had to live on because she understands that the Lord's house is her house. That the house that was devoured by the scribes and the Pharisees, that house doesn't matter. It's the Lord's house, the place of worship for the Lord, the temple of the Lord, that is her true house. The scribes and religious leaders, the rich and powerful among the religious leaders, live only for themselves. They devour the widows. But in this passage, Jesus is showing us that they are going to be replaced in the kingdom of God that he has come to bring. Those who live for themselves and not for God are going to be replaced for those who belong to Christ. And the disciples to whom he is pointing these women, or pointing them to look at this woman, they will be the future leaders, the religious leaders of the people of God after his death and resurrection. Displacement of the scribes and Pharisees, replacement by the apostles and those who belong to Christ. And in verse 21, and in chapter 21, in the verses that come after, we are told that the temple and the Old Testament system is going to be destroyed. That system by which the scribes and the Pharisees sought over, cared for, and used for their own benefit, that system is going to be destroyed. Jesus has already cleansed the temple at the end of chapter 19. He drove out the money changers, saying he had made the Lord's house a den of robbers. Jesus singles out this widow who goes to the offering box at the temple to show that she understands what the temple is all about. The temple was the place where God dwelled among his people. In the Old Testament, God gave them the tabernacle when they went through the wilderness. After David and Solomon had conquered the land of Israel, that was the dwelling place of the people of God. And God had Solomon build a temple so he could dwell amongst his people. It was the place that the people brought their offerings and their sacrifices to the Lord. The Old Testament temple was the shadow of what God would someday do in giving of himself for the redemption of his people. The Old Testament temple and the sacrifices pointed to the work that God's Son, Jesus Christ, would someday do. As the animal's blood was shed, as the animals were sacrificed in a burnt offering, so would God someday send a one true sacrifice, his Son, the Lord Jesus, a Son of David, Son of God, who would be the sacrifice once for all to pay for the sins of all his people. Now, the widow does not completely understand this yet. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is still on the way to the cross, but in the widow's gift, we already see her understanding in her heart what the temple was supposed to mean. The temple meant that God had come to dwell amongst his people. He comes in grace to give himself to his people. She understands that the Lord has given himself for her. And he has possessed her and given her the forgiveness of sins and life. That's what the temple was supposed to be about. In him, she has more than a husband, more than an income, more than an earthly provision. But she has something far more precious than anything in this world: salvation and eternal life. this widow understood that the Lord dwelling in her heart must be the center of her life. She shows it in how she worships and she gives unto him. Remember what Jesus said in a previous couple chapters concerning the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he told, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the man went away sad. And he walked away from Jesus and salvation with his head down because he had much. And Jesus told his disciples, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples reacted and said, well, then who can be saved? Because if you were rich and powerful, that meant that God had blessed you. In their understanding, their earthly understanding of things. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. That's what the rich young ruler did not understand. But that's what the widow understood. Displacement, replacement. The leaders are going to be displaced and replaced by the disciples and the apostles built on the foundation of Jesus' death and resurrection. The Old Testament temple is going to be displaced. No more burning sacrifices in Jerusalem at the temple, but Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, will be the one final sacrifice for the salvation of all God's people. Displacement, replacement. And for this woman, her earthly life is replaced with heaven and eternal life. This is what this widow understood by doing what she did. And if you only look at things from an earthly perspective, it makes no sense what she's doing. But if you see it in terms of her standing before God, it makes complete sense. The kingdom of God perspective, the second thing that we learn is that the kingdom of God perspective forces us to reevaluate the value we place on things. As Jesus watched the wealthy coming to the temple, he saw them putting their gifts in the offering box. He has just described how the scribes were looking at things. They were all about the long robes and the greetings and the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the feasts in the temple and in the city. And Jesus said in verse 4, when they gave out of their abundance. As sinners, we too often value things in a worldly way. But the woman who gave the 2 copper coins, Jesus said, gave out of her poverty, verse 4. She put in all that she had to live on. And Jesus said she gave more than all of those who gave out of their abundance. She gave all she had to live on. She gave her life to God. Do you see how the kingdom of God perspective, the vertical perspective, turns everything upside down? She doesn't come to the temple because of anything about herself. She's not giving to the Lord because somehow she thinks that by her giving, she will merit something from the Lord, or she will get some kind of blessing because of something she did. She knows that the kingdom of God comes to her by grace, and that by faith in God and his sacrifices, that is more important than all of her money. Because by faith, you have the forgiveness of sins. And she will soon learn that faith in Christ makes you right with God, because his righteousness is given unto you. And when you have Christ's righteousness, you have eternal life. This widow did what she did because she understood that when the kingdom of God comes, she has received something great. That what she has been given is more precious than anything she could have. And what God had given to her was so great that what she could give, even her last 2 copper coins, was small. Even giving herself was small. And when she was given God's grace and forgiveness, she received the kingdom of God and received and was received in the kingdom of God with joy. Remember, throughout the Gospel of Luke, the joy of the shepherd who found his lost sheep, the joy of the father when he found his lost son. That's the joy that is in heaven when a sinner is saved. And she knew and understood that joy because she was willing to give her last 2 copper coins. She understood the value of her earthly possessions, even if it is all she has to live on, cannot compare to the value of salvation and eternal life. And so the widow calls us to reevaluate the value we place on earthly things. And finally, the third point, the response of the proclamation of the kingdom. Although the Gospel of Luke, all through the Gospel of Luke, we have been told over and over that the proper response to the gospel is to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And throughout the gospel, as the gospel has been proclaimed by 1 John the Baptist and later by Jesus himself, people have responded to the call of the gospel. They have turned from their wickedness and sin and turned unto Christ. But when the sinner receives and embraces the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, Jesus also told them to follow him. And when you follow him, it means you consecrate your life to the Lord. Do you see that kind of faith in this widow? She went to the temple in faith. She gave all that she had to her Lord. Jesus said she gave all she had to live on. Where was her financial support going to come from? It wasn't going to come from the scribes. They devoured the widows. Yet she gave everything. Is that something you could do? Think of how much value you place on money. You say, well, wait a minute here. I don't put a lot of value on my money. But think of how you react, how worked up you get if your retirement savings goes down or when you have to pay your taxes or when you lose your money. This widow gave all she had to live on. She is demonstrating the value she has placed on God in her life. Her faith has caused her to have her mind be fixed on God and his kingdom and not the things of this world, including her last 2 coins. How do you know? Because Jesus said at the end of verse 4, she put in that offering box all she had to live on. The widow trusted the Lord and that the Lord would provide even if she didn't know how. As Jesus watched her there, there is no indication that she went to that offering box with her last 2 coins with anxiety. Where as she walked up there, we weren't sure she was going to do it. We don't see her, or we're not told of her, second guessing. Details are not given in the text like that. But the text indicates that as Jesus watched her, she went to that offering box in perfect peace. Because she understood by faith, she was a member of God's kingdom by faith, and that God and his grace would provide for her. She consecrated her whole life unto him. She was willing to give her whole self, her whole heart, her whole soul, her whole mind, her whole strength to be used for the glory of God. Do you see now why this text is included where it is? A passage in the Gospel of Luke in the midst of a section in which Jesus is heading towards the cross, as which the disciples are going to learn what it means to follow Christ to the cross. How the Lord is pointing his disciples to her, because this would be the pattern that he would go through first. For he who came down from heaven in the riches and glories of heaven gave up all of his riches. He who was and is the Son of God came down as God and man. He who came to give up his life on this earth, going to the cross as an offering to God to pay for the sins of his people. And the widow who gives up her life in devotion to him follows him to the cross because she knows that he and not her coins is her only hope. For in that salvation, she will be raised up with him. Just as you give your life in devotion with him, because he died and was raised for you, and he will raise you. You see, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, God and his Son Jesus Christ has given you far more than two pennies or any money that you have or can give. For you have been given in Christ Jesus what is most precious, what is more valuable than gold or any money of this world could ever have: eternal life forever with God. And when you understand that the widow has not done something foolish, when you understand that she's living with a kingdom of God perspective, in our text today, Jesus points to the disciples to her. Jesus points you to her so you would see it. And this morning, he is pointing you there so you can see in her what Christ would do for her and what Christ would do on the cross for you. Do you see it? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today that we can understand what is before us in this text, what seems so foolish to the world or to those from an earthly perspective. We see how valuable it is to know the salvation and the grace of Christ. We see how much more valuable are the things of heaven, the riches of your grace, salvation from sin, eternal life forever with you in heaven. And how pale and small the things of this world are compared to those things. Father, as we have looked this morning at this passage, as we seek to understand what Jesus was pointing his disciples to and pointing all of us to, help us to see what it means to devote our entire life unto you, our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we may know that each day that we live is for you and out of your grace and salvation that has come into our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to be willing to give our entire life, not just part of it. Help us to give up the things that we want to hang on to that aren't pleasing to you. May we consecrate ourselves because of that wonderful grace that our Savior has given unto us. May we do it, Lord, not because we think it's something we do to earn any blessing from you, but may you remind us each and every day that the kingdom of heaven is all about grace, all freely given, and nothing we do will earn us any blessing. But it all comes from our Savior. May we live each day that we like we belong to the kingdom of heaven. May we look forward to that eternal life you have for your people. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number